and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Monday, April 18th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll hear from Nathaniel Gray, who is the new executive director of the Pride Center of the Capital Region. At 10 a.m., it's time to get on the Afrosonic Taxi with tracks from Yusi Nador, Thomas Mamfumo, and Salif Keita, among others. At noon, it's time for the Deep 3 Show. After the local news, Jennifer Coe, Hamid Drake, and Zuzu are among the featured artists. Then there's new music at 2 p.m. from Vital Weekly, with Kaja Draxler, Anna Kaluza, and John Roeder, among others. At 4 p.m., we're live from Housatonic in Western Massachusetts with the WGXC Afternoon Show, and Kieran Riley. At 7 p.m. from Fair, Norman Solomon is the guest on the Law and Disorder Show. And then we are live from Acre at 8 p.m. with J.D. Eisman and The Spell, and live from Catskill with Nancy Giles and Carmen Borgia with The Mosquito at 10 p.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Two Hudson Valley-based bands, Frenchie and the Punk and the Dust Bowl Fairies, perform at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on May 12th at 8 p.m. You can find out more in the WGXC community calendar about the two bands. Frenchie and the Punk is French-born singer and percussionist Samantha Stevenson and American guitarist Scott Helland, who played with Deep Wound. The Dust Bowl Fairies include Ryder Cooley, John B. Wooden, Liz LeJudis, Andrew Stein, and Ruby LaRue. Again, they're at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock, Thursday, May 12th at 8 p.m. Go to the WGXC community calendar online to find out more information about this show and many others.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of FET Press in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Bill Williams reports for Columbia Green Media that local law enforcement officers are warning residents of Columbia County of an increase in thefts of catalytic converters from parked vehicles. State police in Livingston are looking into numerous complaints of stolen catalytic converters from cars and trucks throughout the county, said Aaron Hicks, public information officer for State Police Troop K. The majority of the thefts are centered in the Ghent and Philmont areas, but the number is rising in other places as well, said Bo Duffy, director of information for the state police. The catalytic converter is part of a car's exhaust system, and a functional catalytic converter is essential for any vehicle to pass safety and emissions inspections. Hicks said the thefts are happening at all hours of the day, and vehicles parked close to roadways or have high-valued catalytic converters are more likely to be targeted. Trucks, which are higher off the ground, are at greater risk for theft because of the converters are easier for thieves to reach. The Toyota Prius is a favorite target of thieves. Catalytic converters contain platinum, palladium, and rhodium, all expensive precious metals. An ounce of platinum is priced at $1,000, while palladium is more than $2,300, and rhodium, which is extremely rare, costs more than $20,000. State police strongly encourage vehicle owners to always lock their vehicles and park in well-lit, conspicuous locations. The public can assist in preventing these thefts by remaining vigilant and reporting any signs of suspicious activity immediately to local law enforcement, whether it is a person, vehicle, or noise, Hicks said. Information is available by calling New York State Police at 845-677-7300. For emergency response, call 911, Hicks said. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Chloe Callahan reports for the Times Union that the State Public Service Commission, April 14th, approved and ordered a plan to create an additional area code for all or portions of the following 10 counties: Columbia, Delaware, Dutchess, Greene, Orange, Putnam, Rockland, Sullivan, Ulster, and Westchester. The new area code is expected to be activated before June 2023, 6 months before numbers using the current 845 area code are expected to run out. Residents issued a new phone number around this time next year will likely be assigned the new three-digit code. Quote, as the economy continues to grow and the need for more cellular service becomes apparent, there is a greater need for an additional telephone area code number, unquote, said Public Service Commission Chair Rory M. Christian in a news release. Three public hearings were held on the matter in March. According to public documents, phone carriers AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon have indicated strong support for the new area code, stating it will, quote, minimize inconvenience to consumers, unquote, and that it is the, quote, most practical and effective form of area code relief available, unquote. For anyone with an 845 area code already, that number will remain the same and nothing will change. Read more about the story in the Times Union. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that New York State residents will be able to write a gender-neutral X on nearly all state forms beginning in 2023. The change was included in the state budget and it was adopted last weekend. The measure, along with new funding for anti-discrimination and anti-hate crime programs, is meant to build on the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act to strengthen laws against discrimination in the workplace and housing. Some state agencies, including the Department of Labor, Office of Children and Family Services, Office of Temporary Disability Assistance, and Division of Criminal Justice Services, will have until 2024 to make the gender-neutral X option available. If those agencies cannot meet the deadline, a public report is required explaining the delay, Governor Kathy Hochul said. Quote, the past 2 years have been hard for us all, but especially hard for LGBTQ plus New Yorkers who have always been forced to deal with levels of isolation due to homophobia and transphobia. That's why it's so important that our newly enacted budget presses forward in the fight for equality with historic levels of state funding and initiatives for LGBTQ equity, unquote, Hochul said. The spending plan includes $12.5 million for the State Division of Human Rights to strengthen anti-discrimination investigations and prosecution, as well as $3.7 million increase for education programs. Lawmakers also approved $25 million for grants directed to a program meant to combat hate crimes. Read more about the story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Governor Kathy Hochul's $220 billion budget was signed into law this week, and clean energy advocates say it includes a strong commitment to addressing climate change in the state. The budget requires all new school bus purchases to be zero emission by 2027, and that all school buses in use be zero emission by 2035. New York is the first state in the country to enact this requirement. Deb Peck Kelleher of Alliance for Clean Energy New York says it's a great win, both for children and the environment.
Diesel buses are one of the large causes of particulate matter pollution, and our school children now are facing significant increase in asthma. Removing just one of these sources of diesel pollution is just going to be a great public health success.
The budget provides $500 million through the Environmental Bond Act to support school districts in purchasing zero-emission buses and related infrastructure, including charging stations. However, Peck Kelleher says she was disappointed to see the governor's energy efficiency package cut from the budget. It would have strengthened the state's building code for new construction and appliance efficiency standards. Hochul's budget also includes $25 billion to create and preserve 100,000 affordable homes and electrify 50,000 homes. Peck Kelleher says electrifying homes will not only reduce fossil fuel emissions, but save families money.
For those areas of our state that are facing significant energy costs, fossil fuel costs have just risen dramatically in the last couple months. And being able to weatherize those homes, they reduce costs right away once that happens.
New York leads the nation in premature deaths resulting from air pollution caused by burning fossil fuels for heating, hot water, and cooking. The governor has committed to getting 2 million homes in the state electrified or electric ready by 2030. I'm Emily Scott with New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Bloomberg News reports that AT&T's DirecTV will drop the propaganda channel One American News Network this week, while local outlet Mid-Hudson Cable continues to include the channel. Mid-Hudson Cable, based in Catskill, added the network last year and another from owner Herring Networks Incorporated as a lifestyle channel, AWE, that stands for A Wealth of Entertainment. Mid-Hudson Cable already carries Newsmax, another propaganda network masquerading as a news channel, and Fox News, where a judge ruled recently that Tucker Carlson's show could not be considered news. OAN, though, has been repeatedly lying about who won the 2020 presidential election, about how serious the COVID-19 pandemic is, and now about Russia's war in Ukraine. Here is one of OAN's hosts recently lying about Russia on air.
So, what's the most recent story cooked up by the American Pravda? Well, it turns out that the Russians, Democrats' favorite adversary, blew up a hospital, killing several people, including a child. Perhaps war crimes are being committed. Perhaps civilians are being murdered, but perhaps they aren't.
This is Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Report. And Sunday, there is a 20% chance of showers after noon. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny, so those solar panels will get some energy. With a high of just 42, though, and a northwest wind from 10 to 14 miles per hour to spin the windmills. Sunday night, mostly clear is the forecast, with a low around 30 and a northwest wind 6 to 10 miles per hour. Then on Monday, there's a 30% chance of rain after 5 p.m. Sunny skies at the beginning of the day, but increasing clouds with a high of 52 and a wind from the southeast 5 to 9 miles per hour in the afternoon. Monday night, rain before midnight, then rain and snow is possible with a low around 35 and a southeast wind from 7 to 11 miles per hour. Tuesday, rain and snow again is the forecast, becoming all rain after 10 a.m. with a high of just 44, and Tuesday night, a low around 35. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears, renewable solar-powered radio. Monday, April 18th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll hear from Nathaniel Gray, who is the new executive director of the Pride Center of the Capital Region. At 10 a.m., it's time to get on the Afrosonic Taxi with tracks from Yusi Nador, Thomas Mamfumbo, and Salif Keita, among others. At noon, it's time for the Deep 3 Show. After the local news, Jennifer Coe, Hamid Drake, and Zuzu are among the featured artists. Then there's new music at 2 p.m. from Vital Weekly, Kaja Draxler, Anna Kaluza, and John Roeder, among others. At 4 p.m., we're live from Housatonic in Western Massachusetts with the WGXC Afternoon Show, and Kieran Riley. At 7 p.m. from Fair, Norman Solomon is the guest on the Law and Disorder Show. And then we are live from Acre at 8 p.m. with J.D. Eisman and The Spell, and live from Catskill with Nancy Giles and Carmen Borgia with The Mosquito at 10 p.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and Radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar, and WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
Here is this week's Hudson Valley Congressional Report from WGXC from Philip Grant and myself, Tom Rowe, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives of the Hudson Valley in Congress and the candidates who want to replace them. Current Democrat representatives Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik voted with Biden's positions 18% of the time.
Chloe Callahan reports in the Times Union that Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro has backed off partially his plan to give $12.5 million in taxpayer money for a minor league baseball stadium. This comes after the state was going to give almost $1 billion in taxpayer money to the billionaire owners of the Buffalo Bills for a new stadium. Governor Kathy Hochul eventually lowered that number somewhat, but still gave the billionaires a lot of taxpayer money. In Dutchess County, Molinaro backed off and redirected $9.5 million of the stadium money for housing needs. Molinaro, a Republican, is running for Congress, trying to unseat Democrat Antonio Delgado, and likely did not want the stadium money criticism lingering over his campaign. Dutchess County Minority Leader Yvette Valdez-Smith said, and I quote, "This should have been the case from the get-go. Our county needs so much assistance. Our housing market has really boomed, but it has really hit us hard as communities. There are a lot of renters in my own district trying to buy their first home and simply cannot. Prices have really gone up," end quote. Last month, Molinaro was defending the money for the stadium. Molinaro said, and I quote, "If there was one industry impacted the most by the closures of the economy, it was tourism. In the case of Dutchess County Stadium, it's the tourism destination for thousands and thousands of people every night for most of the year," end quote. Now, though, he is talking about the housing shortage. He said, and I quote, "It's a real crisis for ordinary families. Compound that with highest rates of inflation in years, high mortgage rates, it's a challenge," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mari Thompson reported in the Adirondack Daily Enterprise that Hudson Valley Democrats in Congress voted April 1st to decriminalize cannabis in the United States, while Republican Elise Stefanik voted against the measure. Quote, "The soft-on-crime approach to this legislation would incentivize bad actors and transnational criminal organizations to flood our communities with drugs," unquote, Stefanik said in a statement. Representative Paul Tonko, who represents Albany County and much of the rest of the Capital Region in New York's 20th Congressional District, co-sponsored the legislation. The bill, H.R. 3617, removes cannabis from the list of scheduled substances under the Controlled Substance Act. New York 21 Democratic Congressional candidate Matt Peturti, who was trying to replace Stefanik in Congress, said he supported the legislation. Liz Joy, a Republican trying to replace Tonko in New York 20, tweeted her opposition, writing, quote, "Glad to see that they have their priorities straight with everything else going on in our nation and the world," unquote. Read more about the story in the Adirondack Daily Enterprise. Ted Petricus reports for the All Ostego website that while Representative Antonio Delgado, a Democrat representing the 19th Congressional District, and Republican Mark Molinaro, who wants to replace Delgado in the November election, are on the same side of a state issue they have no say in, and Molinaro still managed to create an argument in their agreement. Both Delgado and Molinaro are against New York farm workers getting overtime pay after 40 hours of work a week, like almost all other workers receive. Instead, they both want New York to retain an antiquated law that keeps farm workers from overtime wages until they work 60 hours in a week. Quote, "Agriculture already faces a growing labor crisis, and lowering the farm worker overtime threshold to 40 hours puts farm operations in New York State at serious risk," unquote, Delgado says. Quote, "Many farmers and producers have expressed concerns that the resulting increase in costs will put them out of business," unquote. Molinaro agreed with Delgado on the issue, but still tried to disagree with him. Quote, Antonio Delgado waited till the cows came home to address this issue, an 11th-hour appeal opposing the proposed farm workers' overtime with the knowledge that the budget will contain a tax credit to mitigate the cost, unquote, Molinaro said. Neither gets any say on the issue, as New York State's Farm Laborers Wage Board decided to lower the farm worker overtime threshold from 60 hours per week to 40 hours per week, and Governor Kathy Hochul is currently contemplating rejecting the board's decision. There will be no federal vote on the issue, nor one in Dutchess County. Read more about this story at the All Ostego website. Axios reports that a national Republican group is backing Mark Molinaro over Antonio Delgado in New York's 19th congressional district election this fall. The Congressional Leadership Fund announced backing for Molinaro last week among seven new endorsements. Quote, I think that people are frustrated and fearful that the policies out of Washington and Albany are making life more expensive and making us less safe, unquote, Molinaro said. Quote, we hear it everywhere we go, unquote. On April 7th, all four Hudson Valley congressional representatives voted for the Suspending Energy Imports from Russia Act to block energy imports to the country that invaded Ukraine and continues to commit war crimes there. Only two Democrats and seven Republicans voted against the bill. On April 6th, Democrats Delgado, Tonko, and Maloney voted to, quote, find Peter K. Navarro and Daniel Scavino Jr. in contempt of Congress for refusal to comply with subpoenas duly issued by the Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol, unquote. The Republican Stefanik voted to allow Navarro and Scavino to not comply with a congressional subpoena. This has been the Hudson Valley Congressional Report about the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives of the Hudson Valley in Congress and the candidates who want to replace them. Go to WGXC.org in the newsroom for more information about any of these reports.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 2013. That was the day the West Fertilizer Company in West Texas caught fire and exploded, killing 15 and injuring more than 260. Of those killed, 12 were emergency responders, many from local volunteer fire departments. Three others were nearby residents. 40 to 60 tons of ammonium nitrate detonated at the fertilizer distribution facility. It damaged more than 150 nearby buildings, including schools, residences, and a nursing home. It also damaged key city water supply infrastructure. The Chemical Safety Board issued a number of findings and recommendations in its final report of January 2016. Heat from the initial fire likely caused the ammonium nitrate to explode as it was stored in combustible material. The facility had no fire detection or sprinkler systems and had not been inspected by OSHA since 1985. West's previous insurer did conduct inspections and dropped the company over its lack of a positive safety culture and its refusal to clean up several electrical hazards. The board also found local fire departments lacking in incident command systems and proper training in multiple areas. The explosion revealed the lack of zoning regulations in many cities like West, which allowed for the construction of residences, schools, and commercial buildings near such hazardous sites. Recently, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms ruled the incident an act of arson. Former OSHA official Jordan Barab argues there is no evidence of arson, and regardless, the facility exploded due primarily to improper storage and management of combustible material. He notes the Bureau's conclusion served to fuel industry opposition to President Obama's Executive Order 13650, improving safety at chemical facilities. In 2017, President Trump's EPA head Scott Pruitt granted a stay on that final rule.
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Matthew Iglesias reports for Bloomberg that in September 2020, political scientist David Brookman of the University of California at Berkeley and Joshua Kalla of Yale paid viewers of Fox News to watch CNN for a month and found the change altered their political views. Folks switching from Fox to CNN were then surveyed and were found to be 5 percentage points more likely to believe that people suffer from long COVID-19 and 6 points more likely to believe that many foreign countries did a better job than America in controlling the virus. Those paid to watch CNN instead of Fox were 7 points more likely to support voting by mail than the regular Fox viewing control group. And those paid to watch CNN instead of Fox News were 13 points less likely to agree that if Biden were elected, quote, we'll see many more police get shot by Black Lives Matter activists, unquote, than the regular Fox News viewers. A 7-point increase in supporting voting by mail may seem like a lot, but only 24% of the CNN switchers in total said they supported voting by mail. Of course, the viewers only watched CNN for 1 month, so there could have been greater deviations if the channel stayed changed. Read more about this story at Bloomberg News. WBEZ reports that a Chicago man who ran an AM pirate radio station while in high school in Milwaukee during the Vietnam War now is running an FM pirate radio station in Chicago, playing audio noir radio dramas from the 1940s. Bill, last name only to avoid the wrath of the Federal Communications Commission, has a 50-watt transmitter in his upstairs apartment with an antenna on the roof. Quote, "People on the lakefront up in the high-rises can hear it," unquote, said Bill. Quote, "And they used to listen at Lane Tech somewhere on an upper floor. So it gets out a little ways, but not that far," unquote. The clandestine DJ plays old audio dramas not because of his love for old-time radio, but because he suffers from insomnia, and the old radio plays help put him to sleep. In 2006, he started an internet station, audionoir.com, and now the former audio engineer simulcast on 87.9 FM. Quote, "I already had equipment," unquote, said Bill, 68. Quote, "And I thought, well, I've got nothing else to do with this stuff. I'll transmit this. I guess I do enjoy being the bad boy nerd broadcasting illegally," unquote. His high school AM station got a visit from the Federal Communications Commission officials to his parents' home. Later in college in Wisconsin, Bill helped found WORT in Madison. That background has him currently broadcasting on a frequency that is not being used in that part of Chicago. Bill says he will stop his FM transmissions if the FCC shuts him down, but he would not mind more pirate broadcasters in Chicago. Quote, "I think it would be exciting. You would have a lot of different content, from religious to political to old-time radio to music," unquote, he said. Read more about this story at the WBEZ website. There has been much reporting about the propaganda posing as news that is being broadcast to the Russian people about the invasion of Ukraine. Russian journalists can't use the word war and instead must call it a special military operation. The war crimes of Russian soldiers are both actually being committed by the Ukrainians and also are actors playing roles rather than dead bodies, according to Russian broadcast hosts. But there has not been as much reported about the Russian propaganda being broadcast on airwaves in the United States. Russian propaganda is a bit harder to find on U.S. television and radio since the war began, but it is still there. Tucker Carlson continues to parrot Russian talking points on his Fox News show. RT, the English-language news network based in Moscow and funded by the Kremlin, was dropped from YouTube and American cable franchises in early March as the war began. Most of the content from RT America seems to have been erased from the Internet since the start of the invasion February 24th. But there are still five outlets of Radio Sputnik in the United States right now, airing content produced in Moscow and Washington under the Russian government's supervision. One is WZHF, 1390 AM, broadcasting near Washington, D.C. The station is now forced to interrupt its programming of talk every hour to air a disclaimer. Quote, "This radio programming is distributed by RM Broadcasting on behalf of the Federal State Unitary Enterprise Raisa Segodna International Information Agency, Moscow, Russia. Additional information is available at the Department of Justice, Washington, D.C., unquote. The disclaimer is because of a Federal Communications Commission rule that went into effect March 15th. The rule was in the works long before the war, forcing U.S. broadcasters to disclose any programming provided by foreign governmental entities. Rossiya Segodna means Russia Today, the same Kremlin-controlled media agency that directed RT and RT America. The European Union banned Radio Sputnik after Russia invaded Ukraine. KCXL in Liberty, Missouri is another station airing Radio Sputnik programming, and Peter Chartel, who runs the station, says he and his wife are being accused of treason. He argues that he's promoting free speech by airing falsehoods about Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Chartel is paid $5,000 a month to air the propaganda near Kansas City. The National Association of Broadcasters on March 1st called on station owners to stop carrying Russian state-sponsored programming. Quote, "While the First Amendment protects freedom of speech, it does not prevent private actors from exercising sound moral judgment," unquote, NAB Chief Executive Curtis Leggett said in a statement.